Greetings, and welcome to the Pressure BioSciences third quarter 2016 financial results and business update. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. A brief question-and-answer session will follow the formal presentation. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, please press star zero on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host, Rick Schumacher.
Thank you, Stacy. And our program today is going to be, I'm going to read a cautionary statement, and then I'm going to talk about the financial overview of the quarter, the third quarter, and the three quarters to date. And then we're going to open it up to questions. And anyone that have a question, please join in, and Stacy will let everyone know how to do that. The cautionary statement is that the following remarks that I make may constitute forward-looking statements within the meaning of the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve known and unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors which may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements of the company to be materially different from any future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by such forward-looking statements. Such factors include, among others, those detailed from time to time in the company's filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. We expressly disclaim any obligation or undertaking to release publicly any updates or revisions to any forward-looking statements to reflect any change in our expectations or any change in events, conditions, or circumstances on which such statement is based. So as I mentioned, I'd like to talk briefly about the third quarter financial results, and then we'll jump into a business update, and then we'll take the questions. So for Q3, As we announced both in our Q that was filed and in the press release that went out today, first of all, I can say that we are pleased with the financial results of the third quarter. We think, as I've stated several times before, that 2016 is a watershed year, an inflection year for us. There's so many good things that are going on, so many things that we're going to working on right now, that it's really quite a stressful but very exciting time for me and my team. We certainly met or exceeded several of our significant milestones and performance improvements that I need to once again applaud the PBI team for their focus, their hard work, their loyalty, their dedication. It's to me, it's extraordinary what this group of incredible people I have been doing. This company has grown in the last 3 or 4 years from, 40 or 50 instruments in the field to maybe over 150, maybe over 160. We have close to 300 customers who have purchased or leased instruments. All of these require installations, training, warranty. We have to build the instrument. We have to quality control it. We have to find the customers and sell them on the on this very novel technology that we have, and all of this is being done with a phenomenal group that have been willing to take on more and more as we grow quarter after quarter. So I applaud their efforts. For the third quarter, we reported products and services revenue of over $500,000, of $500,929 for the third quarter. This compared to $481,452 for the third quarter 2015. Historically, the third quarter has been our strongest quarter of the year. The $481,000 from last year was a record for products and services revenue. So this year, the $500,929 eclipsed that record, set a new high for a quarter in revenue for products and services. And it was the first time we actually broke $500,000 in just products and services, not counting non-products such as grant revenue. So it was just a year ago that we were looking at $400,000 and then $500,000 for total revenue, trying to eclipse that number. And in the third quarter of 2016, we not only had our third consecutive $500,000 quarter, but we actually broke $500,000 in product sales alone. So we're very excited about that. The product sales revenue was driven primarily by instrument sales. You recall last quarter they were driven more. We had good instrument sales, but we had very large consumable sales. This quarter It was instrument sales that were driving our products and services revenue. And what's exciting about that is, as I've said often, consumables will come. We have to get the instruments out there. We have to get our customers to be using the instruments, to be publishing and presenting data, because they are our best sales force right now. They are pretty much the only sales force we have right now that is larger than one person. We have one person in sales, and she spends half of her time in sales and half in marketing. So we have a group of users, some key opinion leaders, some not, that love the technology, and it's these people who are publishing and presenting and talking about the technology who are, to a great extent, a reason for our increasing sales and our record sales because of what they're doing. So it's important to drive the installed base. It's important, much more important in our opinion now, to have more instruments out there than to have fewer instruments and having more consumable sales. We believe consumable sales will come, but they won't come if we don't drive the instrument installation. So we're very excited that we had a record revenue for products, but we also had record revenue for installation of equipment, of instruments over the quarter. As we pointed out in the numbers that we reported, our grant revenue decreased to $34,000 for the quarter from $98,882 for the same quarter in 2015. We've talked about this before. We were given an extension for the grant. You all will recall that we received awarded about 2 years ago a $1 million grant. It's about half done, and we went back to NIH and requested an extension. We have a one-year extension now on this, so we expect that the work on the grant will begin to pick up. There was a number of parts that were very specific to the grant that had to be ordered, and there were a number of things that went into that, and that sort of held the grant up for the time being. But at this point, we feel that in the fourth quarter and certainly next year, we expect the grant revenue is going to increase. We haven't lost that second half of the $1 million grant. We've got it extended for a year, and we expect to start working on the grant in earnest again this quarter and next year and in billing it. Total revenue decreased to $535,334 from $580,334 for the same quarter in 2015. But if you look at the decrease in grant revenue of over $60,000 and you look at the increase in products revenue, it's clear that our total revenue was adversely affected by the loss in grant revenue. However, we made it up and then some by having a record quarter in products and services revenue. Our operating loss for Q3 was down to approximately $451,000, compared to approximately $690,000 for the third quarter in 2015. We wanted to make it very clear in the statements we had out there that this was some of this was due to a one-time credit that we received from a prior professional service provider. We received several hundred thousand dollars in credit, and that came in the third quarter, so it reduced our operating income. Had we not received those credits, we believe our operating income would have been about the same, maybe slightly larger than last year of $690,000. So it's a one-time positive to the operating statement. But I want to make sure everyone understands we are still very, very finicky about what we spend. We're very careful about our expenditures, and we negotiate hard, we travel smart, we try to keep our operating expenses, and to a certain extent, that is going to continue to help us keep our operating expenses down. Earnings per common share in 2016 third quarter was a loss of 3 cents, basic and diluted, as it was the same in the third quarter of 2015. Now briefly, for the 9 month period that ended September 30th, again, products and services led the way. We had revenue of roughly $1.4 million compared to $1.17 million in the first 9 months of 2015. This is an increase of about 22%. And again, the drivers there were instrument sales, which also had a record for the nine-month period of over $1 million, $1,060 compared to $752,444 last year for the 9 month period. So, we have consumables that are certainly increasing throughout the year, and we have instrument sales that actually not only increased but set a record for the nine-month period. So we're excited about the year, not just the quarter that finished, but, of course, all three quarters. Grant revenue decreased, as expected, for the 9 months. It went from $259,000 in 2015, nine-month period, to $127,000 approximately this year. And, again, as I mentioned, we believe that this is a short-term decrease in grant revenue and that it will pick up this quarter and most assuredly in 2017. Our total revenue for the nine-month period was actually a record revenue for 9 months of $1,556,776. And this compared to $1,433,572 for the prior nine-month period. So in spite of the loss of about $130,000 in grant revenue for the nine-month period, we still managed to have a record total revenue for the nine-month period in 2016. Our operating loss for the nine-month period ended September 30th was about $2.55 million compared to $2.63 million for the 9 months of 2015. So our operating loss decreased over this period. Again, we attribute a majority of that to the credits that we received, as I mentioned before, but also to the great job that my team is doing in controlling our expenditures. The loss per common share for the first 9 months of 2016 was 23 cents basic and diluted compared to 17 cents for the first 9 months of 2015. Now I'd like to talk briefly about some business achievements and different programs that are ongoing, and then I'll open it up for questions. So the first thing I want to talk about is we've talked about this briefly. We've hired a new contract manufacturer. They're only about a 15 to 20 minute drive away from us here in Easton, Massachusetts, which makes it extremely convenient for us. Compared to the previous manufacturer we had, which was out on the West Coast, and it was very difficult to work with them because of the distance involved. Great people, but hard to work with them. They are ISO certified. They are coming up to speed in our new instrument system that we announced that we in July that we sold the first four units at the end of June. They are coming up to speed and develop and manufacturing this system. Very excited about the work. We think they do very high quality work. And it's such a pleasure to be able to drive 15 or 20 minutes away and have a face-to-face meeting with our ISO certified manufacturer, when we talk about changes that need to be made or increase in our expectation for builds and things like that. So, they built four of our systems. Remember, they built five of our systems in the second quarter, mostly finished in June, and all five were sold. They built four more systems in the third quarter, and all four of these systems were sold. We do not have any of our new systems in inventory. It may sound slow, and it is slow. It takes time to build a quality system because we not only are building a quality machine or instrument, but we are trying to get this CE marked, and the CE marking is very important and is required by probably three dozen different countries to be able to sell. So we've been working on this. So there's a lot of things that have to go into developing the system along quality lines that will then allow you to achieve a CE mark. So all four that were built in the third quarter were sold. We have plans to build at least 10 in the fourth quarter. We have two that are built, and we have two more that we were told today are ready to be picked up, and we have four more that they're going to start on next week, and so that makes eight, and we think we can fit two more at the end. So five in the second quarter, four we're manufacturing in the third quarter, and we're looking for 8 to 10 to be manufactured in the fourth quarter. And then we're going to be putting in a very large order for parts so that we can build many more per quarter in 2017. The second thing of note is that in July, Vice President Biden was in Australia, and he named the Children's Medical Research Institute as an official collaborator with the U.S. National Cancer Institute and President Obama's Cancer Moonshot Initiative. This is where the government is putting about $1 billion to work over some last year, mostly this year, to try to do in the next 5 years what might normally take 10 years in cancer research. Our first three instruments went to the Children's Medical Research Institute in June of our brand new instrument, the 2320 Extreme. And it is being used and will be used to screen up to 70,000 or more tumor samples as part of the Cancer Moonshot. The third is, I mentioned CE marking. We made measurable progress towards that goal of achieving CE marking for our instruments prior to the end of this year. And the fourth thing of note or achievement of note in the third quarter was that we were invited along with representatives from some very good companies. SCIEX, our co-marketing partner, CMRI, the group, the cancer research group in Australia that bought our first three instruments, as well as the Institute of Molecular Systems, which is run by Professor Rudy Abersold, perhaps one of the top three experts in the world in the area of proteins, and also representatives from Beckman Coulter, Illumina, and NextBio. All were asked to make presentations at a gala opening of the International Center for the Study of the Proteome of Human Cancer, called PROCAN, which is located inside the Children's Medical Research Institute, and very excited that we were included in this group to talk about pressure cycling technology and how CMRI and PROCAN will be using our system together with the SCIEX mass spectrometry system to study and look for biomarkers in over 70,000 tumor samples. Also in the press release, there's a link to a small segment that talks about our next generation Barocycler 2320 Extreme instrument. So please, if you go to the press release, you can find that link, or you can go to our website, and that video plus many more are on our website. Briefly about the fourth quarter and going ahead, we are absolutely focused on implementing and continuing to implement a sound path towards financial self-sufficiency and of course future growth and profitability. We are doing everything we can to drive the acceptance and commercialization of the new instrument, the 2320 Extreme. It is a beautiful instrument, quite frankly. It does things. Pressure is pressure. So when you get to 20,000 PSI or 30,000 PSI, it doesn't matter whether it's our older system, the 2320, or our newer system, the 2320 Extreme. But the bells and whistles on this new instrument. The previous one was run by a microprocessor. This is run by a computer. The previous one didn't allow you to download anything. This one has a USB port, so you can download a lot the data, which is very important for a lot of pharmaceutical companies and is opening up the doors for us there. It has better control of pressure, better control of temperature. It's more rugged. Very excited about this new instrument and the fact that we developed it internally along with everything else that we did over the last year and a half, and now it's out being sold. The third thing to think about as shareholders in the company or potential shareholders in the company is that we have a co-marketing program with SCIEX, an incredible company that is, from what everything I read, the leading company in the world in selling an instrument called a mass spectrometer to laboratories worldwide. This is the gold standard that scientists use for understanding proteins, for reading proteins. The mass spectrometer, we find in our reading that there's about 16,000 labs in the world that have at least one mass spectrometer, and SCIEX has the leading share of those. It's not much more than the others, but it's still more. They're the leading provider of mass spectrometers. This is an instrument that can cost $400,000 to $1.5 million, and our instrument sits in front of it, and we think makes the downstream instrument better because we believe that the use of pressure cycling technology gives the user a better, higher quality result when they break up their tissue and their cells to free the proteins to be studied downstream. And the fourth thing to look at as we go forward is that we have said multiple times this year, and we've already started to significantly expand our sales and marketing capabilities. Up to now, we have one inside, one outside salesperson, and she was brought to a halftime sales and a halftime marketing earlier this year when we signed the co-marketing deal with SciEx. We have Dr. Lawrence, who heads up sales and marketing, but he also heads up business development, manufacturing, operations. And so we have very limited time from both Nate Lawrence and Roxy to spend in sales. And we depend upon our customers to do a lot of sales for us. That's okay up to now because we've been very busy building the company and building the new instrument. But it's not okay going forward, and we need to start expanding our sales capabilities. So I'd say that those are the things that everyone should look at as shareholders or potential shareholders going forward. It's been a number of achievements. I would like to rehash very quickly the 2016 year so far because I want to we have some new callers, I'm sure, on the phone, and I would just want to let them know and remind our existing callers and shareholders of some of the two or three of the major achievements of the year. First of all, the co-marketing agreement with SciEx. SciEx is a worldwide leader in providing analytical instrumentation to the life sciences field. It's a 2,700-person company. It's part of the Danaher Group, and we're working with them in a co-marketing program to introduce pressure cycling technology and our barocycler instrument and instruments to that community. We eliminated nearly $3 million in floorless debt. We have no more what's called toxic debt on the balance sheet. Haven't had toxic debt on the balance sheet for about 6 months. That's all gone. The debt we have on the balance sheet is at a fixed price and has at least another year to run. So we've cleaned up our balance sheet in that respect. As I mentioned, we released the new instrument, the 2320 Extreme. Now we've had three consecutive quarters with total revenue surpassing $500,000, and we've even had this past quarter with just product sales surpassing $500,000. And as we mentioned over the past week, we closed on the sale of $610,000 of our common stock in a PIPE transaction, and we 2 weeks ago mentioned in a press release that we opened up a $2 million line of credit under what we think are quite good terms for the shareholders of this company. And at that, Stacy, I'm going to turn it back to you, and would you be kind enough to let everyone know how they might be able to ask any questions they have?
Thank you. We will now be conducting a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the question queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. Our first question comes from Daniel Wong with Investor Town Hall. Please proceed.
Hi, Rick. I wanted to ask you, you mentioned the CE marking on the new barocycler. Can you explain what that is and how long it typically takes to get something like that in process there?
CE marking, Dan, came out a number of years ago, and it's a process. it's like many things in life that are worthwhile. They take quite a long time. We need to prove to independent international agencies that our instrument is made in a quality system, and they will therefore inspect the manufacturing site, which could be our site, but in this case it's our new ISO certified manufacturer that's 15 or 20 minutes away. They check all the quality systems from buying the materials to how you put the instrument together, and also how well the instrument works at the end as you let it go through quality control before you release it. CE marking is required by, I believe, about 36 countries that require that the CE mark be obtained before you can sell your instrument in that country, and many of these are European countries. So to be able to sell to a number of the countries that already have our 2320, which was CE marked, and I can tell you back when we got that instrument CE marked about 10 years ago, it took about a year. It took quite a lot of money and a lot of time, and we were able to get it CE marked. And once you're CE marked, you have to go through annual reviews of your process. And so we've started this. You can't start until you have the instrument made. We started this in the May-June time period. We set a goal that we thought was attainable, that we still think is attainable, to get CE marking before the end of 2016. And in my opinion, that's a very, very aggressive goal. But we know how important it is to have a good 2017. We know that our sales of our new instrument are going to be clearly dependent upon CE marking because a number of the countries outside of the U.S., Germany, U.K., Poland, France, Spain, et cetera, will all require CE marking. And so we set a goal, and quite frankly, like most things with this company, we just had to fit it in. And so we did. We fit it in, and we've been working on it, and I can tell you that we made measurable progress. I am still optimistic that we will be able to attain the CE mark for our new instrument before the end of this year, which again cost a lot of money and a lot of time. But if we get that, which we expect we will, whether we get it by the end of the year or not remains to be seen, but we need to get CE marking, and we're doing everything we can to get it and to get it before the year ends.
Great. Thank you for that. Are you able to start pre-selling some of these without the CE mark?
We can sell as we already have. There are some countries, many countries, that don't require a CE mark. Some have their own mark, Dan. Some have their own mark. Some will accept a CE mark, for instance. Once your CE mark, if you're selling to a certain country that says, well, we want you to go through and get this type of marking, but we'll accept a CE marking. And there are some that will accept the marking of other countries. So the answer is it is something that requires you to build it in a quality system and be able to have it UL marked for electrical compliance and have it marked for other reasons. And we're doing all of that. So we're working on it, and there are some countries that are accepting it for the marking we have already, and there are some countries that, quite frankly, will not let it be in until we get it truly CE marked, which is why it's really important to get this, and it's really important to try to get this before the end of the year so we can kick off 2017 with the with a number of countries that today can't buy our instrument but will be able to next year, hopefully starting in January.
Great. Thank you for that. Congratulations on all the progress. Definitely looking forward to, what's to come here. Thanks so much.
All right, Dan. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Anthony Gulo, private investor. Please proceed.
Hi, Rick.
Hi, Tony.
Congratulations on the wonderful achievements that the company has made, you have made. I have a couple of questions. First, on accounts receivable. I see it is a fairly material increase in accounts receivable. That would be one question. Second question would be, does our relationship with SciEx preclude us from getting foreign distributors? It seems like there would be an important big market that we could get maybe licensing fees. My third question is a comment and a suggestion. It seems that you basically own the precious cycling concept, that particular space, and it's obviously the preferred technology for cell analysis and sample analysis. So what can we do as a company to convey that image and market that concept so that it indeed does become the standard for the industry, akin to when Xerox came out with their machine, everybody said, Xerox is copy. Now can we have somebody say, Precious Cycle, this sample?
Well, Tony, again, welcome aboard. We met 6 months ago, 5 months ago. I know you're a new shareholder, and I appreciate you being on the call. Your first question was on accounts receivable. Our accounts receivable that we published went up from $113,000 at the end of December to $589,000, and obviously you saw the concomitant decrease in cash. What I can assure you is that the vast majority of our clients are just top-notch clients. They're universities, they're government agencies. We rarely, you know, in the last 5 or 6 years, I think I can recall one or two bad debts, and they were not a lot, you know, $8,000 or $6,000 and things like that. So the accounts receivable are from very top-notch customers. We are into a cycle which we really don't like to be into, but we can't get out of it. It's not easy to get out of it. We work all quarter, and then at the end of the quarter, we have a lot of sales. We'd love to have those sales in the beginning of the quarter so that the money isn't all coming in, you know, 60 days after September 30th or so. I can tell you that a lot of that money has come in, and that is very welcome to us. It's been helping us out a great deal. It certainly helped us out a great deal before the line of credit was set up just about 10 days ago, I guess, now. And so the AR is extremely good, and has been it just happens that that a lot of our sales, we had a record quarter, we had a record quarter in instruments, we had a record quarter in product sales, and a lot of that happened in September, and a lot of that happened in the last few weeks of September, a couple weeks. So that's why that number is so big. Number two, you asked about distributors. There's nothing that prohibits us except time and money from getting these distributors. It is a daunting task, in fact. When you think about this staff and all that we're doing, and then to look at trying to expand, and we are, there are several things that you have to keep in mind. First of all, we were running out of the older instrument. We are just developing and building. We've sold every one of the new instruments that we bought, that we built. And so there's a fine line we have to walk between trying to go out there and oversell something and not be able to produce it and not be able to have it available to someone who's depending on it. So between the cash constraints we've had, the time constraints we've had, building a distribution network overseas is been lower on the list than it's going to be going forward. I can assure you of that. There's nothing in any deal that we've done that keeps us from setting up a distribution network. The only commitment we have is that we treat our the customers of our partner with special discounts that we give them because they are SCIEX customers already. And so other than that, we can certainly, and we will, and we're going to be, I can assure you, we're going to be very aggressive in 2017. When we have instruments to sell, and we have consumables to sell, and we have people here to support our distributors, and along those lines, I can tell you that there's a distributor that we worked with in prior years and then drifted away from for 2 or 3 years called IL, a gentleman named Alexander, and Alex is built an incredible distribution network in Germany. He's now expanding throughout Europe, and we've had discussions with him, and I can tell you that we signed a distribution agreement with him recently, and that we are expecting a lot from Alex and his team at IL in next year, not just in Germany, but they are developing networks throughout all of Europe, and we're very, very excited about that. I can also tell you that we signed a new distribution agreement with a friend of ours in Japan, all of this in the last few weeks in Japan. And so we're excited about this new agreement that we have in Japan. I hope that answers your second question. The third one's a good one. And there is a, we love people to say we need to pressure cycle this. And some people are saying that, but obviously not enough. We're still relatively unknown. Our technology, Tony, is still relatively unknown. We're just a small company in Boston with what I believe is an incredible technology. I've told people in my lifetime of developing technologies, personally, this is the most exciting, has the most potential of any technology I personally have ever worked on. So I'm very excited about it. And I'm excited about the fact that we're in this inflection year and that we have been able to do some of the things that we couldn't do before, which is one is to access cash. It's not a lot of cash, but it's a lot more cash than we've had up to now that we've announced in the last couple of weeks. And we've been able to take care of our balance sheet. And as I think you know and others know, because we've said it several times in writing, we've got ads out. We have an interview tomorrow for instance, for a New England sales field representative. I can tell you that we've also hired a group out of Chicago that has been in the business for 20 years. They are acting like I'm going to call them agents. I'm not sure that's the right term, but they know a lot of people in the life sciences business, and they are now going to be actively calling a lot of people that we could never get to in the short term. And we are paying them to spread the word and to let people know that we exist and to send out information about our system. So there's a lot of good things that are happening right now that we think will bear fruit in the coming months and certainly in 2017.
Terrific. Thank you so much.
Our next question comes from Bolton Flott with Equities.com. Please proceed.
Hi, Mr. Schumacher, and thank you for the great presentation. And again, my name is Bolton Flott with Equities.com, and we have a two-part question from our readers. The first is focuses on the favorable financing you mentioned, the $2 million line of credit, where you got a decent interest rate and bullish priced warrants. What does this signal to the investment community, and how did you get this good financing? And the second question is, I believe that you are starting to staff up your sales and business development efforts, and I believe you mentioned this at some investor conferences. Can you elaborate on where you are directing the sales efforts, where the opportunities are, and et cetera?
Bolton, nice to meet your acquaintance. I know your magazine, Equities.com, and it's been a staple out there for years, so welcome aboard. I don't think we've spoken before. First question you asked me was about the $2 million line of credit. I appreciate your words, saying that, you saw it as a very favorable, terms for shareholders, and how did we get them? I'd agree with you. I've told a number of people who've called. Most people who've called have given me maybe a virtual high five. We did get very good terms for, this is an unsecured line of credit. As you mentioned, the warrants were priced at 40 cents when the stock's been around 30 cents. And the other parts of the deal, which were all in the 8K that was filed, I think were very favorable to shareholders. This came from a high net worth individual, one individual who has, supported us in the past, understands, in my opinion, how important our technology is, understands how close we are to this inflection point, I believe, and wanted to make sure that we're given every opportunity to get there. And I also want to thank our friends at Garden State Securities who worked with me to attain this line of credit, and they deserve their own credit for helping us get this line of credit at Garden State Securities in Red Bank, New Jersey. So it's terrific to get that $2 million. The second part of your question was about staff and where it's going to be focused. I think it's in the press release that went out today. We need staff. This is the same group of people that have been with me for 4 years, and yet we've gone from you know, maybe 100 instruments in the field to 275 or so. We've gone from 30 customers to maybe 150 or 160. We've gone from very limited consumable sales to multiple sales. We've gone from having to install and train a handful of people to where we have a lot of people. So this company is growing, and this company needs staff. I'm excited to say that this company is going to be hiring staff in the coming days, weeks, and we've already hired staff, and we'll be hiring staff, and we've hired several part-time people to fill gaps immediately. And as I say, we're interviewing for a full-time person tomorrow, and we've got other people that we're talking to. We think we're at the beginning of the next step in our growth, and I've done it before 3 times. I can smell it. I can taste it. I'm very excited about where we are. No guarantees, but the only guarantee I can make is I've never been surrounded by people that work as hard and are talented and as focused as I have on my team right now, and I think all shareholders need to know that. So we're going to be focusing on our so-called low-hanging fruit. Our low-hanging fruit is the mass spectrometry market. If there are 16,000 labs, which we believe there are, that have at least one mass spectrometer, and we have maybe 50 of them that now are customers, we have quite a bit of ways to go. But to Tony's question 10 minutes ago, and a little bit to yours, these things don't happen overnight. We are changing a paradigm that's existed for decades. We are asking scientists who spend their life looking to find one small change in one biomolecule, such as one protein out of, let's say, 10,000 proteins in a cell. They're trying to find one small change, and we're asking them to try a whole new way of getting that cell, opening the cell, getting out that biomolecule, that protein or that lipid or that piece of DNA, and to break it down to where it can be analyzed in a totally different way than they're used to be doing, and their mentor did it, and their mentor's mentor did it. So these things don't happen overnight, but they do happen. When you have a better mousetrap, and we believe we do, it will happen. And so I know that I get phone calls from some investors who say, I'm very patient, I know these things take time. I get phone calls and emails from others who say, why is it taking so long? The fact of the matter is, we think that's our best market to push. So when we hire our people, as we are, we're going to be hiring people with the knowledge that they're going to be leading the charge in trying to get us business primarily in the mass spectrometry market. And then the two-edged sword here, the other side, is that our system is platform system. It can do so many things in so many areas that once we feel like we've got traction in mass spectrometry, we can look at other areas, at forensics, at antibioterror, at agriculture, at aquaculture, at vaccines, and many other ways where we think pressure cycling technology will also have a play. But we've got to be very focused right now, and the people we're hiring, and they're going to be helping to develop, they're going to be helping to sell, they're going to be helping to install and train, they're going to be focused in the area of proteins primarily, and in the area of helping people that are doing mass spectrometry have better quality by using our system.
Great. Well, thank you for that, Mr. Schumacher, and congratulations again on a great quarter. And I look forward to the fourth quarter and upcoming updates and a great presentation. I really enjoyed it.
Nice to meet you, Bolton.
Our next question comes from Suraj Singh with RedChip Company. Please proceed.
Hi, Mr. Schumacher. How are you?
Hi, Suraj.
Congratulations on the great quarter. I just have a quick question. The revenues, what percentage of sales was it from influence from the SciAx deal for this quarter? I mean, are they is it improving because of the SciAx co-marketing deal?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think the question, if I could ask it, if I could change it around, is the last two quarters. The first quarter, there was very little. Even though we had a very good quarter, there was very little from the SciAx deal. Last year, there was nothing from the SciAx deal. There were sales that were related to our relationship at the time with SciAx, but nothing to do with the SIAC steel and nothing of the proportion. I would say that the majority of the sales of our instruments, and we sold 9 of them in the first, in the second and third quarter of just the 2320 Extreme, the vast majority of them were related, some of them absolutely directly, like Children's Medical Research Institute buying 3 and saying publicly, we're going to do PCT SWAT. That's combining us and the mass spec product line of SCIEX. So of the 9 instruments that are sold and of the calls that have come in, certainly the majority of them are related to the SCIEX deal. That said, I think we're at the tip of the iceberg because, we came into the game late. As I explained to some people, the deal wasn't signed until January. SCIEX is a very large company. I believe they have 2,700 people. They have a very large sales marketing force. And by the time we got introduced to everybody in March the first time, their 2016 program was well underway. So a great deal of what you see for the instrument sales was directly related to the SCIEX deal, and I think that that's going to stay the same for next year. We just our goal is just to make it much bigger.
All right, thank you. That's it from me.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Alan Stone with Wall Street Research. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi, Rick. Congratulations on another record quarter, consistent record quarters, and a couple of questions. First of all, on maybe you can elaborate a little bit on the consumable revenue as you continue to build your installed base quarter by quarter. I guess there were some anomalies that occurred in the last couple of quarters on what caused the decline of the consumable, but I would speculate that could pick up nicely as you go forward. And what causes, do they just run out of product that they need to reorder? Or does that need to be proactively marketed on your part in order to make that happen? I was just wondering if you could elaborate on that a little bit.
Good point you're bringing up, Alan, and hello again. We had a record quarter in consumables in the second quarter of this year. We've had I'd have to look at the numbers, but I know it wasn't a record for 9 months, but it's close to it. So we've had a very good year for consumables. It just so happens we've had a better year for instruments. I've mentioned this on the call several times, probably more than several times. We're limited with our bandwidth. We have 9 people, and we're growing. This company could double in size in the next 6 months, and most of those people will be focused in one way or the other in a sales and marketing capacity or in a manufacturing capacity to support sales and marketing. So, yes, you have to proactively sell and market consumables. But the what we've done from day one, and I believe it's the right course, is to push the installed base, drive it as hard and as much as we can. Because number one, if someone buys the instrument and they only use a couple of $100, $1,000 of consumables, but they write a paper and they present the paper at a meeting and there's 5 or 15 or 1,500 scientists in the audience and they see a picture of our instrument, they hear about the data, that's going to help us sell more instruments. So we need to, the issue we have is we're an unknown. And that's not bad. It's not bad to think that we're doing all of this and we're really relatively unknown. And so we need to drive the install base of instruments, and that's what we're doing. And with the sales team that we have, which is a half of a full-time person, and whatever time Dr. Lawrence can spare from his other duties, and especially now he's taken on internal manufacturing and operations, he and Roxy are all we have, and half of Roxy and a very small portion of Nate. And so I ask them to push the install base of instruments for the reason I just said. Plus the instruments sell for between $30,000 and $50,000, and they have a margin gross margin that is very close to the same as the consumables. So let's push the installed base. The consumables are going to come. Number two, we don't have the people, the bandwidth, to do what we should do, and that's why we're hiring. We need people to pick up the phone here in Eastern Massachusetts, dial for dollars all over the country, and let people know what they can do, and make sure they see the new publications that came out to know they can do other things with their Barocycler that perhaps they haven't thought about. So consumables will come, Alan. Consumables at some point, I believe, dollar-wise will exceed the income, the revenue of the instruments. But at this point, I'm tickled pink. I'm happy to see the instrument sales leading the way, because I know every instrument that gets placed is another potential believer, another potential presenter at a national, international, local, regional meeting that will be, for the time being, maybe our best salesperson, because they're spreading the word.
Yes, thank you. And as a second question, this is a little bit above my pay grade, but I was looking at your balance sheet this morning and on the liability section. And, you know, I know that you eliminated all the floorless convertible debt, and, you know, want to congratulate you for that again. At what point does that derivative liabilities on the balance sheet, there seems to be about $5 million of that, drop off? I mean, will that come off, you know, at some point because that floorless debt is gone, or what triggers that under generally accepted accounting principles? And because that would be a big, you know, boon to your balance sheet when then finally drops off, because that seems like a phantom kind of a liability in my judgment.
Alan, very astute, and it's more than $4 million. It's over $10 million, because you have the same derivative liability on the warrants as you do on the conversion option of the actual debentures. So you're right. There's no more floorless debt on there. This is all safe debt. It's all convertible at a set price. But there is a ratchet on the convertible debenture, and there's a ratchet on the warrants. And because there's a ratchet under GAAP, we have to book a derivative liability. And that derivative liability is over $10 million. So you're looking at current liabilities of $13.5 million. And I'm going to give you a rough number that, you know, $10 million of that, maybe more, is related to derivative liabilities. When does it go away? It goes away when the warrants are exercised. It goes away when the debenture is converted into stock. How does that happen? The holder can do it themselves. Or we can force it. If you go back to the 8-Ks and the 10-Ks that were filed, it'll tell you that if the stock price is three times the exercise price for 10 days in a row or 15 out of 20 days, we can force convert it. But also, if we did an uplist to NASDAQ or New York Stock Exchange and raised a minimum of $5 million, then we can force convert it. So there are ways that we can get rid of this liability. And what a nice thing it would be, wouldn't it, if you could see all of this $9, $10, $11 million go away? Your words, it's phantom, but it is, it's not cash. I can tell you that. And it is gonna, once it gets converted, it's gonna go into stockholders' equity. So it completely changes, the balance sheet of this company once we get that debt and those warrants, taken care of.
Yeah, thank you. That's a very good explanation. Appreciate that. Keep up the strong momentum. Looks like, you know, the shares seem very, very undervalued to me at this point. So congratulations on continued success.
Thank you, Alan. That means something to me. It means a lot to me, coming from a guy that's been in the business for, I won't say how many years, because you probably don't want to remember how many years, but so many years, and well respected by investors around the country.
Our next question comes from Reiner Portner with Stockwatch Index. Please proceed.
Yeah, hi, Rick. This is Reiner. I'm the analyst at Stockwatch Index. And if you may remember, we released our first research report in August on PVI. Glad to hear all the success of the company. And it seems like you're at a pretty critical point in the development of the company, and congratulations again to the removal of your toxic debt. Many callers have already addressed a bunch of the questions or issues that I wanted to bring up, so I don't need to repeat this. But that's an important step, and in regards to the question of the caller before me, people have to understand that, like, the biggest portion of your liabilities are non-cash. So while they show up on the balance sheet, they are really not a stress on you as a company. So again, congratulations on your success. I think it's extremely encouraging that the sales increase is based on instrument sales, because I would assume that the consumable sales come automatically after that through the methods of having a higher installed base and the other issues that you mentioned before. My question would be, again, critical point for the company, 2017 could be a very exciting year for you if you're able to increase your sales team, increase your management team. You have a good ISO qualified manufacturer, which I assume is also helpful with your CE qualification. Are you only limited by access to working capital right now to achieve all of this? Or what are typically the limitations for you to this regard now in expanding? Is there a manufacturing capacity limitation, or what are your plans in that regard for 2017, how to really achieve the best possible growth for PBI?
Reiner, thanks for the call. The major obstacle we've had is getting capitalized for the last 3 years. The reason that we couldn't go to the new ISO-certified manufacturer earlier than we did, the reason that they can only make four or five systems a quarter for the first couple of quarters, some of it is a lot of it's related to the fact that we've been so undercapitalized. We've had to watch very carefully where we spend our money, what we spend our money on. And we can't let that happen for 2017, because if you're right and Alan's right and other callers are right and I'm right in my judgment, we think 2017 has the potential to be a really, really exciting year for this company in the area of growth, particularly sales growth. But also infrastructure growth. So we have been handicapped, quite frankly, by our lack of funds, and we've run the gauntlet. We've been in the same place as so many small companies, undercapitalized companies have been in. Your stock is your collateral, it's your commodity, and if your stock is down like ours has been, on the one hand you want to do as little fundraising as possible because you want to minimize the dilution to the company. On the other hand, you have to look at the cost, at the opportunity cost of not selling stock, even at these low prices, in order to bring in cash to grow the company. So these are the things that keep me up at night, as you might imagine. All of that's changed in the last couple of weeks. Not permanently and not to a great extent, but to a certain extent, all of that's changed. We were able to secure some money through a Reg D exempt pipe, and we've also been able to secure a $2 million line of credit. And what this means to us is that, first of all, last week and the week before, I didn't travel. Those are the first two back-to-back weeks I can recall this year, 2016, that I didn't have to travel. This week I only traveled a single day to New York. So there's 3 weeks with a single day trip to New York. The ability now to focus on the business, to look at hiring people, to look at the infrastructure growth that we need because we have the cash is great for this company. And it's going to be, I think, very rewarding for our shareholders. So the line of credit and the initial cash that came in on the pipe have been very beneficial to us, to give us the ability now to fill the gaps that have grown to be, caverns at this point. They're so big. But my guys are just dedicated to this and just doing everything they can to do what we can to grow the company. And now we're going to be able to bring the extra bodies in here to expand our bandwidth, to take care of the opportunities that are there in front of us that we haven't been able to do. As an example, one might look and say, how much product – I've already talked about building another 10 or 12 instruments in the fourth quarter, 8 to 10 in the fourth quarter and maybe a couple more in January. The next question is, what are you going to build in February and March? And we're going to build a lot of instruments now, but I can tell you that because we now have the cash. You know, we're talking about several hundred thousand dollars that's required to buy the parts to build the instruments. And if you don't have that money, you can't build the instruments. If you don't have the instruments, you can't increase your sales. So at this point, having the line of credit and having the initial money that came in on the pipe, we're able now, and we're putting together purchase orders to buy a lot. Not to buy enough for 10 or 12 instruments, but to buy for 25, maybe even more than 25 instruments, because some of these are two and a half month lead times. So we need to order them now if we want to be able to build the instruments in February to affect our sales before the end of March. So it's been really a godsend to be able to have this this cash that comes in. So I'd say, honestly, The technologies in the hands of 150, 160 clients. It's been published in over 100 journals. We have almost 300 instruments in the field. We believe the technology has been proven. We believe the instrument has been proven to work. We believe that the market is there. We believe we've proven all this. What we lack is the bandwidth to grow this company, and now, recently, in the last 2 weeks, with the advent of the financings that we've done on very, very favorable terms to shareholders, nothing was done under 40 cents a share, and the stock's at 30 cents a share. Because of that, we can grow our bandwidth, and therefore, we believe, have a better chance to grow this company in 2017.
Yeah, sounds exciting, because you're absolutely right. Opportunity cost is really important, and it seems you are at a point where more working capital will allow you to reach your goals faster, and that's always exciting. There may be time for an update of research report. I'll try and coordinate that with Small Cap Nation in New York, and hopefully we make the market realize the real value of your stock, which should then make it easier for you to really achieve your goals. And congratulations again.
Thank you very much.
There are no further questions. I would like to turn the floor back over to Rick Schumacher for closing comments.
Thank you, Stacy, and thanks to everybody. From what I understand, we not only had, several records that fell and new records set for our financials, but I think we've had a record for the number of people on this call, and I know we've had a record for the number of questions on the call. So I'm going to look at that as a proxy to tell me that the excitement is brewing and that the interest in the company is growing just from the large number of people that have joined the call and the number of questions. So I appreciate everybody taking the time, I will remind shareholders that the definitive proxy was filed on Monday, and it's available online, and that there are some very important votes that are in the definitive proxy. Karen Smith from Advantage Proxy has been hired for the third year to help us get in touch with shareholders. So the shareholders that are listening, please be aware that the proxy itself will arrive at your doorstep probably right after Thanksgiving, but it's available now online, and that there's some very important votes that we need that we think will help us grow this company next year. So appreciate all of your listening to us and what we're requesting in the votes, and listening to Karen when she calls. And thanks again, and I look forward to talking to everybody. Happy holidays, because we won't be on this call again until March, but when we do, or April, when we do, hopefully we'll be talking about a very successful end of the year and a very successful beginning of 2017. Take care, everyone.